I want to welcome you to the show today. My name is Yaya Diamond, and I am your host. This is a wonderful day. I am so very excited to be here, and I'm sure Mr. Wong is too. You know, this is just an amazing adventure we have where we can still have an imagination at over 50. I'm just saying, okay? Because, you know, like we die down and like reality hits us, but not the authors. Oh, no. Oh, no. We have to pursue. We have to go after it. As a matter of fact, my last interview today, this lady actually jumped in a flash flood. Yes. And she is over 60. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I am well over 60.
There you go. And we haven't lost our spontaneity.
I hope not. I think I still have it.
I think I do too. Welcome to the show, Mr. Wong. How are you?
I'm real good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime, anytime. So tell us about yourself. Tell us how you got into being an author.
Okay. Well, I was a teacher, school teacher, public school teacher in Renton, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And I taught language arts and social studies classes. I taught high school and middle school. And I had some pretty good experiences and some pretty funny experiences, and I thought some unusual experiences. So when I retired, I thought it would be fun to write a book about some of my experiences teaching. So this is the incident that my current book is actually my fifth book.
Oh,
and yeah. And my first one was about some of the experiences I had teaching, and I tried to make them a little funny, you know, here and there. That book is called Sit Down and Shut Up. And, yeah. And so, I started writing then, and I got another idea. One of my favorite books is Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but the main character, Holden Caulfield, is, sort of a teen that has issues and problems and weird things. But the book doesn't go past his teen years. So I thought, I can't believe I'm not the only one that thought of this, but I thought, what would Holden Caulfield be like as an adult?
Oh, that's like Caillou. What would Caillou be like as an adult?
Yeah. So, I wrote this book. It's called Crumbler. That's his name.
Ooh.
I didn't use Holden Caulfield, but I based what I thought he might be like as an adult.
That's cool.
And that one's a little bit of a downer book because Holden Caulfield sort of was a downer.
Ah.
And then my third one is called Fearful Eyes, and this is a serial killer.
Oh my gosh.
I'm interested in criminology. I have one of my degrees is sociology, and crime I really like. And so I thought I'd write a book about a serial killer from the serial killer's point of view.
Mm.
So as he's going about his duty killing people, you see what he sees and feel what he feels.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
That's creepy.
Yeah. And then my fourth one is called Muttered Musings, and that's just a bunch of stuff that's happened to me. Not a lot of bad stuff has happened to me or good stuff. It's just stuff, you know, that's happened to me. I thought was sort of interesting. So that's nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so here I am at my fifth book, The Incident, which I think is the one that we're going to talk about, I think.
Yes, we are. So this, what is this book about? What has inspired you to write this book?
What inspired me was a real incident, believe it or not, that happened. And like the main character in the incident, I've been watching my grandkids pretty much since I retired. And so I was watching one of my daughter's kids, and I go to their house every morning. And one morning I went, and I always back in. I don't know exactly why, but I always back in places I go. And so one morning I backed in sort of fast. I was in a little bit of a hurry, and I just set my brake and opened my door, and there my three-year-old grandson is there, right there. And I was thinking, it shocked me because I didn't see him. I had no idea how he got there so quick. And then I started thinking, what if?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's like the worst, one of the worst things that could possibly happen. So in the book, it happens. And basically, the book is about the guy's journey through the process of grieving. And that's basically what it is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, you know, to me, it's like, okay, you have to go through those emotions in order to write it down.
Yes, sort of. Yeah, I haven't had this is like a major grieving incident here. I haven't had a major one. I've had, you know, my folks have passed, of course, but they were 81 and 87, so they had a fruitful life, but I really haven't had, it scared me so much. I almost went through the 5 stages of grieving right then and there.
Oh.
I was so scared. I said, where did he come from? I could have run him over. Oh my goodness. And in fact, I know of someone who, actually ran over his child, but fortunately the child, it was a sandy area and the child, lay down and sort of got absorbed in the sand, but he run him over, but didn't cause any damage to him. But that for him, that was enough. It was like, he might as well have killed him because he went through the whole grieving thing.
Oh my gosh.
The what if part. I know it's like awful.
Oh my gosh.
So this book is again, sort of a downer obviously, but it does have a happy ending. So.
Well, that's good to know. Don't give it away, though. Don't give it away. Don't tell us. Don't tell us. But, you know, my gosh, you know. Okay, so is this book made out of people that you know, like based on people you know?
Yeah. You know, the main character, his name is Robert in the book. It's actually pretty much me. The first 3 chapters is basically my life watching the kids, one of my grandkids. And then once the incident happens, then that's where it becomes fiction. But I did put myself into that character, you know, what would I think? How would I might act? How would I react? And more importantly, how would the people around me react?
Mm.
You know, and this really started bothering me because, you know, here, if that did happen, how would my daughter and son-in-law think of me? Would they disown me? Would they, you know, it'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would definitely be tough.
I sort of thought that my son-in-law might not like me very much. My daughter might get over it a little bit because I'm her dad. But so that's sort of the approach I took on that. But yeah, it's awful thinking about it.
It is. I mean, I literally don't want to think about that.
Right.
I don't. Actually, I'm good. I'm real good not thinking about that. That is absolutely crazy. But you did it. You went through that.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes, I pretty much did.
Yeah. Okay, so you almost, like, I would just imagine you going through that grieving process. You had to.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the stages of grief or loss, but, you know, you go back and forth between anger, depression, and bargaining. The initial one is denial, but that doesn't last very long. The goal is to get to this acceptance stage, which varies, you know, it varies for every person. Some people take longer than others. And just because you get there doesn't mean you're going to stay there. Lots of people, you know, just go back and forth. You never, you know, something like that, especially, you never get over, but you can learn to manage it and deal with it and live a decent life without it, you know, devastating your life.
Mm.
And that's what this guy does eventually.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So, okay. So why does this book take place in a small town in Hartford, California?
In Hanford, California?
Yeah, Hanford. It takes place, sorry.
Yeah, Hanford. It's okay. It takes place in Hanford, California, because that's where I live now. My other books took place where I live most of my life, which is Seattle and Renton area. And so I lived in Hanford now since 2017. So I'm familiar enough with it that I thought, let's just set it here. It's a town of about 60,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's a little, it's south of Fresno, if you're familiar with Fresno in California.
No.
Okay.
I am not.
You're in Florida, so.
Yeah.
Well, if you can picture a state of California, Hanford is about right smack dab in the middle, north, south, and east and west.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's in what they call the Central Valley of California. It's actually agricultural land, but Hanford has about 60,000 people, and I thought I was going to miss the city. I love the city, mm-hmm. and I was worried about moving here. It's a little too conservative for me, but other than that, it's really a good place to live. The people are friendly. It's actually big enough that they have a Costco, for example.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. So it would be nice to have a few more restaurant choices and things like that. But for those kinds of things, Fresno is about 45 minutes away. So Fresno is about 500,000. So it's a pretty big town.
Oh, yeah, that does sound like a big town.
So, yeah, so I used the reason in Hanford, getting back to that question, I used some of the places that I'm familiar with in Hanford in the book. There's a place called Superior Dairy, which in the California area is fairly well known. And then there's a Buffalo Wild Wings where the character goes to twice in the book. There's a church called Glad Tidings that I used because he went there for his grief support groups that he eventually joined. Mm. And there's a place called Defiant Chuck E. Cheese. And these are kids' places guy in the book would take his grandkids to, and I did too when I'm watching them. So I thought it'd be fun just to put it here in Hanford.
Yeah, that is cool though. That is actually cool. 60,000 people is about where we live. It's about the same.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a very big place here where we live either. So who might be interested in reading this book? Would it help the person that actually went through something like this?
Yes, I think so. In fact, the number one person that might be interested are people who have been through grief or loss, which basically is everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It matters just the degree sort of matters.
Right.
So since everybody does, and I think everyone will resonate with what this guy goes through. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a person. It can be a pet, you know. Same thing. Pets are family members in many households. And in fact, my girlfriend, Debbie Shuren, who has a cat named Finnegan, the cat is old and signs of it's losing weight. And she's already starting to grieve. Hmm. She's already crying my arms a couple of weeks ago over poor Finnegan, not got too long to go.
Yeah.
So it can be a pet or it can be any reason. It can be a divorce. You grieve over divorces and breakups and, so I think everybody, grandparents, you know, the guy's a grandparent, parents with small children, mm-hmm. counselors, Christians, I think, but mostly I think people that have experienced grief or loss would be the most interested.
Yeah. What do you think the takeaway is?
I think that the takeaway after you read this book is that if you have or are experiencing grief or loss, that there is a chance for it to get better. It may take some time, but it can become tolerable and manageable. You're never going to not forget, but you can deal with it eventually. And don't be afraid to cry as much as you want. And don't be afraid to get angry, you know, as much as you want. And all of that stuff is part of the process and is helpful to get to that final stage, which just means you're going to manage your grief. You're never going to not forget. So I think, it's good for people to see what the stages are. And I think since everyone's been through grief and loss, they'll immediately recognize, oh, yes, that's right. I remember. Yes. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow. So any ideas for the future book? Another book? Because, are you going to go down or are you going to go up this time?
Am I going to go down? What?
Are you going to go down or are you going to go up this time?
Well, actually, I think this one, believe it or not, is going to be up.
Oh, good.
For some reason, I had this idea. I still don't know where it's going. I don't have an outline of the whole storyline here, but it just popped in my head. Why not a Christmas story?
Oh, yay. Okay. I can deal with that.
Yes. Yeah. Based around a 9-year-old kid. I sort of have some ideas. He's from a rich family, but the parents are so rich and busy that they sort of ignore him. And it's going to sound weird, but he spends a lot of time in his big bay window looking across the street at his house that doesn't really belong in the neighborhood. It's not as nice a house. But he notices some things. And basically what happens is the older man that lives at the house is actually one of Santa's main helpers. Mm. And he has a bunch of elves in the basement making toys. Mm. I know it sounds strange and weird, but there's more to it than that.
Well, of course there is.
Yes.
But yes, at least you're writing a cool story that's this time a little up in the mood department.
Yeah. Should be an upper.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, you got to have a little down in it, though. There's got to be some conflict and some problems. But yeah, in the end, it's going to be, this one might be my biggest upper.
That's a good thing. Yes. I like uppers. I like downers, too. I like the ones that, you know, give you a little bit of a realistic outlook on life. And life isn't always like, I guess palm trees and bananas, sometimes there's roses with stickers on them, definitely. Wow. Is there anything that you want to tell the listeners today?
Go get the book. Go get the book. It should be on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And, those are the two places I know for sure. My publisher, Page Publishing, you can probably get it through them. They're out of New York, and I think they have an office in Pennsylvania too. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a little bit of a, like I say, a downer at first, but then you should feel good at the end.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yes. And the biggest thing is sometimes, you have people that have gone through this and you don't know how to react. I think this book would be good for that as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yes,
and one of the key things is everyone grieves differently. So no matter how you're reacting, it's fine.
Right.
You know, some people like to be by themselves and just sort of check out of society. That's the way they grieve. And some people get angry and like to yell at people. You got to be careful with that. I agree. But if that's the way you grieve, that's the way you grieve. You got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Wong, for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Your name, Yaya. Where'd you get that?
Well, okay.
It's cool. It's a cool name.
Thank you. So the name is Yahaloma.
Yeah,
most people cannot pronounce it. I get Yakoma, Yamala Mahamala. I mean, I get all kinds of different things. And so people started calling me Yaya, and I was like, okay, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And just, I'll answer the Yaya,
I see.
Yeah.
To me, it's a little bit curious because my grandkids call me Rara.
Oh, okay.
So you're Yaya, and I'm Rara.
There you go. Yes. Well, then you'll never forget about me, and I won't ever forget about you.
I won't.
Awesome. And then now you have to come back on because Yaya and Rara have to meet up again.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to.
So when you come out with your new book for Christmas, you can come back.
Yes, there we go.
There you go.
That's a good plan. Good plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. I had a great time.
Well, thank you. I had a great time, too. And thanks for having me again.
Oh, anytime. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're going to have Mr. Wong's book link in the description box below, so it'll be easy for you guys to find it. Go ahead and check that out for yourselves. And if that's something that you feel like you need to read or even gift to someone, or even read because you have someone that's going through a grieving process and you want to be there for them and you want to kind of figure it out, or maybe even read a book about it, that would be helpful. So, you know, don't count it out. Just kind of think about it, guys, okay? And until next time, don't forget to dare to be different. All right. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for stopping by. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to this channel. Hit that notification bell so you'll be notified the next time that I upload. And don't forget to dare to be different. Until next time, guys. I dare to be different. I dare to be different.